Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
The WeatherTech Sports Car Championship on IMSA Radio.
And let's say a very warm welcome and good morning, although I'm not sure how much coffee has been imbibed by our VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock reporter, Shea Adam. Are you Compass and Mentos this morning?
Good morning, John. I've had one cup of Tim Hortons this morning in honor of our friends down on the pit lane who are able to actually go to the Tim Hortons in Mansfield, Ohio. I'm insanely envious of all of you. So good morning to our friends on the pit lane and good morning to our friends around the world. It's been an active night since we last left our audience after qualifying. A lot of changes.
We have news. We have breaking news.
We have potentially breaking news. We have a lot of changes to the grid. The grid is not set until after morning warm-up, so we'll get to that with Jeremy Shaw and the Michelin Countdown to Green a little bit later on. But there have been a few cars that have eschewed their starting positions already, including the number 60, Meyer Shank Racing Acura. Breaking news on this car because HPD looked at the data last night. They saw something in it that they didn't love, and that team has done an engine change. Now, as of last night, that car was already moving to the back of class as of a change of starting tires. But this morning warm-up just became even more important for the pink and black number 60 because they're breaking in a new engine.
Right, so they will be out. It's not mandatory, and we know of at least a car that won't be out there, and that's somewhat standard operational procedure for John Bennett and the core team.
Yeah, they're taking a little bit of a lie-in after John's excellent qualifying effort yesterday, put in a performance that was good enough for second in the class. But Core is one of those teams that we're used to seeing potentially skipping the morning warm-up, taking a bit of a lie-in. Maybe they're still in line at Tim Hortons. Maybe that's what's going on, making sure they get their coffee. But I promised you news on other cars on the grid that have been moved out of their original starting position already. The 91 Riley Technology LMP3 car, that's Jim Cox who qualified it. It was already toward the back of the pack, so they've elected to give him a fresh set of tires and start at the back of the back of LMP3. The number 5 Mustang sampling Cadillac announced that they were going to change their starting tires before the number 60 Meyer Shank Racing car did, so they're going to start 5th and 6th respectively. And then the other big car that we had moving position on the grid was the number 9 Pfaff Motorsports Porsche. Now, why is this car especially relevant? Well, they went out and qualified 3rd for points, not talking about position here. Positionally, they were 6th. They failed the post-qualifying tech in terms of ride height, so they've been moved to the back of the class. But that also means that they forfeit their points accrued in the GTD qualifying session. Now, their qualifying points were good enough to move them up to 2nd in the championship, but because they've had those points taken away from them, effectively losing 12 points, they're now back to 3rd, firmly behind the Ross Gunn and Roman De Angelis Aston Martin.
And we should say that any team, by the way, that forfeits their starting position in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship would give up their qualifying points earned. That doesn't count for GT Le Mans, but they're not here this weekend, so let's not confuse ourselves further. The roar of racing engines means that the 20 2-0-minute session is underway, and the cars who have elected to take part in morning warm-up for the Acura Sports Car Challenge presented by TLX Type S at Mid-Ohio are out on the circuit. Wherever you are around the world or around the track, it is 90.3 FM this weekend, and thank you to everybody at Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course for loaning us their airwaves and the PA system. John and the guys doing a great job as ever on the mics there when we're not talking. And also to Tyler Norling and his team from IMSA Technical who make all the relevant connections with our colleagues at Charlotte for NASCAR Productions, who produced the TV and the international feed. And somehow, with a bit of magic and some kind of fairy dust, it all comes together and goes around the world. And I don't need to know that it works. I just know it does. And we'll add to that as well, Tim Gray and his team up in London, who are looking after the audio side of things this weekend on what's already been a very exciting and busy weekend across the Radio Show Limited and IMSA Radio networks. At IMSA Radio, if you want to get in touch with us today. Now, the lap times here don't stand for anything, so this is an opportunity, particularly for that number 60 MSR DPI, Dane Cameron, at the wheel, just to make sure that it is as it should be. And unsurprisingly, Shea, that car peels straight back into the pit lane after a 2.25 mile effectively install lap. They'll have a quick look at that and possibly plug a computer in after that overnight engine change.
It really is an ideal condition, 20 minutes worth of running to shake the cars down, make sure that all the nuts and bolts are tight on the cars. And it always makes me laugh to see the drivers' names on the timing screen, because it answers the question for why they stopped texting me to find out, oh, they're driving the race car. That's what's going on. But it's very busy out there for morning warm-up, and it's going to be very busy in terms of the race. Our lap records are 125 laps completed for DPI as of a couple years ago, and 116 for GTD, which means that over the course of this 2-hour and 45-minute race, the entire GTD class will be lapped at least 9 times. So it's a very heads-up driving experience. And that begins right at the beginning of morning warm-up. As John, you were spot on. The engine cover's off for the Acura. The team is looking around. They've got their torches on, making sure that everything is perfect to go for the race. And hey, Mike is back. Welcome back, Mike. Nice to see you on the pit lane. He was in Indy yesterday.
Yep, in the blue shirt with the headsets on, just shaking his head, but he's got a smile on his face. I wouldn't read too much into that being there with the engine cover off. They'll be just checking to make sure everything's tightened up, there's no oil or other essential fluid leaks, and having a look. There's a lot of sensors on these cars nowadays, and so they will know if there's potential for a problem. Didn't seem as though they were looking at anything particular there, just having a good look-see under there, and commiserations for the bad luck yesterday for the Auto Nation SiriusXM Mike Shank car at Indy. And they had a very good run with Jack Harvey going on yesterday, managed to catch up on that after our Michelin Pilot Challenge race, and still Michael Shank has a smile on his face. Very much at their local track here, Shea, for MSR, as the car fires up its Acura engine and leaves.
That was a nice burnout by Dane Cameron as well to get some heat into the Michelin tires. Yes, it is the local track, the home track for the Ohio-based team. But they have not had the luck of the home track. Their best ever finish at this course, second overall, second in GTD. They've come home with the second place trophy. But after racing at this track for more than 18 years, they've yet to come away with the big one. Dane Cameron and Olivier Plaw. Olivier, rookie to racing at this track, by the way. Still find that hard to believe. They're looking to try and change that today for the team owners.
Yeah, they're going to have to do it from a long way back, or at least from the back of their class, because they've changed their qualifying tyres, engine change overnight as well, as a precaution, we're hearing from the team, if you didn't pick that up earlier on. But that car now out in the hands of Dane Cameron. Sorry, paused there for a moment as I was just looking at some times coming in. And I would expect that now to run around for probably 5 or 6 laps minimum. May even stay out for the majority of the rest of the session. Pete Durrani, yeah, for the sake of full disclosure, is quickest this morning with a creditable 1:19. But that's still well off the pace we saw yesterday. We were hoping to get inside 1:10, 69-second lap, but so close. It was a fraction over 1:10 for the front row in a very impressive qualifying session yesterday. Meantime, in GT Daytona, out on the track at the moment, pretty much everybody, I think. Turner BMW just going through turn one is the number 96 car. That at the moment being piloted by Bill Oberlin. And
when in doubt, go for Bill Power.
Well, yes, and as has happened at various times in the past, Bill's forgotten he's in a GT Daytona car and he's ahead of some of the TPIs and the LMP3s out there. He's clearly had his coffee this morning and whatever breakfast cereal of choice he has, because he's straight on the money with his times this morning, Shane.
Well, and no spoilers for what happened yesterday, but I think it's safe to say that Bill Oberlin feels like he's got a little bit of pent-up racing energy left over.
Right.
So clearly he's using morning warm-up as an additional session to go out there and blitz the times, as he so often does. Bill Oberlin, actually, bit of a funny story. He lives very near a lake. He's a powerboat fanatic as well. He found a family of ducks living near his house and put them in a bag as mom trotted alongside him, took them back to the lake, crossed the road, made sure that they were safe. So Bill Oberlin, very much an animal activist in between the last couple of races.
Duck wrangler, Oberlin. When you say he's into powerboats, many years ago we did a TV feature on said lake with Bill, and he apologised that the boat he had out was only doing just over 100 miles an hour on water, because it was only running one of its two Ilmor V10 engines that it would normally have had. So take anything from your mind with a little outboard motor on. He has specific requirements when it comes to boats, and my goodness, he likes them. He likes them fast. Good to see Bill out this morning. By the way, if you missed the Michelin Pilot Challenge race yesterday, the 120-minute challenge race, go to imsaradio.com. The archive is already there, and it won't be too long before on the IMSA official YouTube channel that the full race is posted up there as well, once we've had the highlights show up on with our colleagues at NBC Sports. So that'll be in 10 days or so. Go ahead, Shane.
I've just had a penalty come through that is not often called, particularly in morning warm-up. Now, when crew members are not properly attired, it's traditionally a warning. Johnny Knotts will walk down, have a conversation with the team, tell them, hey, your guy's not wearing the Nomex socks or whatever it might be. But a drive-through penalty has been issued for an improperly attired Wright Motorsport Porsche crew member. That's a rare penalty, and that's actually a costly one for morning warm-up, because it's only 20 minutes long. If you're going to take a trip down the pit lane, that's going to cost you a full two laps.
Already doing that right at the moment. Apparently it wasn't anything to do with the safety equipment, but the flowery shirt that was being worn on the pit stand was just really outrageous and completely improperly attired. I'm only joking.
Was it Bobby V or Johnny Wright wearing
that? Well, either of them could pull that off. There's no doubt about it. In and out of the pit lane then for the number 16. And it is Pat Long behind the wheel there. Pat, who took the points, the 35 points on offer for the qualifying position yesterday. Remember, two GT Daytona qualifying sessions, one for the grid spot, which has to be done by the lower rated driver, and then the other driver takes the car out and races for honour and for bragging rights, as Pat was explaining. It was a bit more fundamental for Wright, though, than just those 35 points, welcome as they are in their championship quest share, because They were chasing setup on that car, and that session, that extra 15-minute session, really helped them out to find the setting that Pat liked.
It very, very much so, and particularly given that they hadn't had the speed in the GTD car that they had found in the GT4 car, leading the charts in every single practice session for the Michelin Pilot Challenge, they got quite used to seeing the 16 up there. But Patrick, going out and finding that little bit of extra speed. And it's going to be a very competitive race, particularly considering at the bottom end of qualifying, we've got four cars that are right together, the 16 being one of those four. So they needed to make sure they have that little bit of extra speed so that when the Ginger Ninja, Patrick Long, gets behind the wheel, he can drive it to the front.
Brings that car back in, and they're going to practice a fast driver change. No problem with the new engine that was thrown at the Acura number 60 overnight. It's found itself a new home. It's very happy. It's settled in. And Dan Cameron, the quickest by almost half a second this morning. It is two Acuras at the top of the warm-up times, 14.2s. Is that a representative race pace? Probably. Maybe a second and a half quicker than that once the temperatures come up later on today when we go racing here at Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course. But it is the 60 MSR car from the number 10 Konica Minolta. Then the Cadillac of Tristan Vautier, that's the number 5 Mustang sampling car, ahead of the 55 Mazda, which was in... with Harry Tinknell in rude form yesterday, in every sense of that word. My goodness, that car. Larry Holt telling Jeremy Shaw here in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre, so sent him a text and said, we haven't got a balance on the car, we're throwing the kitchen sink at it, we're throwing everything at it. And well, it worked here, because that car looked phenomenal in qualified, and it wasn't just one quick lap for Harry.
No, and I'm honestly coming out of that qualifying session gutted for Philippe Albuquerque, who thought that maybe finally he could come away with his first pole position in this series, come away with it at the Acura track, where there's so much honor to be upheld, three consecutive years of winning overall. He puts in a lap that was a blitzer, and then he meets Harry Tinknell, who steals all the glory and puts in a, quote, niche lap. In honor of his manager and mentor, Alan McNish. And it really was. It was one of those laps where the car was perfectly balanced on the knife edge. But Dane Cameron was let off the leash just enough this morning to go quickest. I think there's still a little bit more in that Acura for the number 60. He's no longer fastest, though, John. That honor goes to Tristan Vautier, race winner last time out at the Mobile 1 12 Hours of Sebring.
Top four, all in the 1 minute 14 bracket, 14 flat for Vautier. Cameron with a 14.6 for Philippe Albuquerque in the second of the Acura as the number 10, and then Harry Tinknell with a 14.8. Renger van der Zander in the 0-1. We've got a 1, a 0-1 and a 1-0 this weekend. So just keep an eye on that. And the 1-0 at the moment, touring in the hands of Philippe Albuquerque. He is heading down towards turn 4 and China Beach. And is that a little plume of smoke or fluid coming from the back of that car? I don't think he's looking for space there, Shea. He's just been passed by Felipe Nasa in the number 31 Mustang sampling car. Another quick car at the weekend. Am I getting up to pit speed a bit now, coming to 9?
He's on the out lap too, John. So perhaps he was letting somebody go through who was on a faster lap. Ricky Taylor has done the driving this morning in morning warm-up, so this is Philippe's first opportunity.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. Didn't want to upset any of his fellow competitors, so good heads-up driving. Yeah, comes out through 13 and onto the finish straight now, crosses the stripe, heads down to turn 1. Great commitment as he heads into it. Just coming out of the keyhole. Well, he came out of the keyhole pretty well, but then I wonder if he saw the bright red and white 31 car, because he slowed noticeably and stayed to the left-hand side. He's in that part of the track again now, and he's doing exactly the same thing. Is this a practice start? Is he doing a practice start, maybe?
He is on the outside of the front row, so that could be it. I hope that's it.
I just wonder if he's cleaning up a groove where he thinks he might be, because he didn't take a standard racing line as he went up the hill to turn 5, and he went very wide through turn 4 as well.
Yeah, but there's still an IMSA prototype challenge race to come following this morning warm-up, and then another MX5 Cup race. So get your coffee for that one. You won't need coffee to stay awake during that race, but there's a lot of running left to do before we get to that start. So I don't know how much effect cleaning up a groove would be, but it certainly gives him the perspective of what he needs to look up for the flag stand.
Yeah, even if he's not doing that, then perhaps he is just seeing where he might be on the track and finding out what kind of grip he can expect, because there are some different surfaces down there. He's heading up to the keyhole now. Let's see what he does this time. Looks like he's attacking it at racing speed this time. Comes out of it, running onto the yellow raised curb. No, he's slowing down again. So he's slowing down again. The revs drop. Yeah, that is coming to the green flag pace, isn't it? Well, what have we said down through the years about preparation is everything? How about that for preparation? And he's not taking the inside line into turn four, Shay. He's going round a car's width away from the apex, as if he was going through there side by side with whoever is there. Now, isn't that interesting?
Philippe Albuquerque is one of the best racing drivers in the world right now, and he is demonstrating his intellectual quality to practice that so that he knows what it's going to be like when there is a Mazda inside of him. I bet you he would be happy for Harry Ticknell, a former teammate, LMP1 mate, to come along and practice the practice start with him. That would be a bit entertaining.
I think that's a quality piece of use of warm-up. He's still clearly getting plenty of time in around the rest of the track. It's just, as you see, he's looking at the perspective as where he's going to be as they roll down to the green flag. Remember, for those of you perhaps new to this, listening from further afield than around the environs of the circuit, at Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course, we believe unique, and he's done exactly the same thing again, we believe unique in world motor racing in that the start and finish lines are not just not in the same place on the start-finish straight. There's a few tracks that is the case. They're not at the same part of the circuit. Finish line, and interestingly, the restart line, of course, after any intervention by the safety car, well, that's beside the pits, exactly where you would expect it to be. But because of that tight and short run and a tight turn one, the start is actually green flagged from halfway down the backstretch just after the kink at turn three. So that's just the initial start. The race time, by the way, because I probably will forget about this when we get to the excitement of rolling round to the green flag, the race time, and this is a time certain race, will start as they roll across what will become the finish line. So we effectively have, a third of a lap under full course yellow, with the cars at a side-by-side start being controlled by the pole sitter until we get the green on the back straight. I always remember in the ALMS days, not such important now because we have multiple starters and we have a team of starters. Hello, Dennis and Tony. But Dennis used to have to get a golf cart sitting literally ticking over ready, so he flagged the green, then ran down the stairs, or walked very gently and properly down the stairs so he didn't trip and hurt himself, jumped in a golf cart which was then whizzing back to the normal starter stand for any other flagging that was required. Time has expired, and it will then be MSR Acura, the number 60, Dane Cameron, getting down into the mid-13s there. That, I think, is a more representative race sort of time.
Don't give it to him yet, John. Vaudier's on a personal best lap, and Jarvis just put in a purple sector one.
Okay. Has the 60 taken the checkered flag, Shay?
Not yet.
No,
the
I didn't think so.
Just saw the checkers. That's Tristan Vautier. So the 5 Cadillac will not improve. I did check my notes, and Philippe Albuquerque, I believe, has only raced here once before, and he was not the starting driver. So that practice could be very, very relevant for him.
That's a very good point.
Let's see. Jarvis is on a good one.
Here's Cameron coming through the final corner, and he gets it down to a 13 flat. Now that's a good lap. Ollie Jarvis still to come around. Personal bests in the first two sectors, and an outright best, in fact, in the first sector. Five has gone through. Vautier is finished. He's now on a quote-unquote slowed down lap. And Ollie Jarvis did not improve as he went through. So he pulled in. In LMP3, Oliver Askew underlining his excellent work for Andretti Autosport this weekend, former IndyCar driver, of course, for McLaren Arrow Schmidt-Peterson. It really should
and more
be.
More importantly, this year, Rolex winner.
Well, and a Rolex winner, yeah. I always think that should be Schmidt-Peterson, Arrow McLaren, and then it would spell spam.
Spam.
Yeah. Ollie Askew with the quickest time for Andretti. Sean Kreese Motorsport. Joao Barbosa, Felipe Fraga and Dylan Murray all out this morning in LMP3. No core, but don't read anything into that. They weren't planning to come out here. Lexus looking for their fourth consecutive win here in GT Daytona. Vasser Sullivan with the top time in GT Daytona, ahead of Bill Oberlin for Turner BMW and Brian Sellers for Lamborghini and Paul Miller Racing. Jack Hawksworth, the second of the Vasser Sullivan Lexus in fourth, and the top six made up by the Porsche of Pfaff Motorsport and the Carbon Audi with Jeff Westphal behind the wheel. So no major dramas is the good news. The old adage of nothing good ever happens in morning warm-up or in warm-up, whenever it is, has been avoided by some teams by not taking it, of course, but by others. Important information being gathered there, I'm sure, as to track conditions today. And in the case, as Shea pointed out very adeptly, Philippe Albuquerque testing out where he can see the green flag from as he goes down through the kink at turn two to the start later on. We'll be back with the coverage of the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 race. Then we've got our Michelin countdown to green and, of course, the whole race live this afternoon here at Mid-Ohio Fastest Lab. IMSA Radio, RS2 around the world, and here at Mid-Ohio on 90.3 FM. For Shea Adam, I'm John Hindhoff. Thanks for being with us. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.